This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Jake LaRavia in about 15 minutes, Darius Maddox in a half hour, Wake Forest and Virginia Tech stars accordingly. And we will actually show you a bit of an excerpt from tonight's tournament doc as well before we're all done here at 10 o'clock this morning.
Hard to believe we're at episode 7 and 8 of this documentary. I remember leading into it telling everybody, man, you're going to love what we're going to show you on Monday nights. Yeah. It's been great.
After tonight, only one more left. Two more episodes next Monday night. So that's tonight, 9 o'clock on ACC Network. Carolina-Syracuse, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Then you switch right over to ACC Network. Pac told you women's basketball regular season's wrapped up. I hold in my hands the tournament bracket right here. There it is. Tournament bracket ready for Greensboro and the start of play on Wednesday at 1 o'clock with three ball games coming your way. How did we get there? Well, we knew the regular season – and the top seed belonged to NC State. What we didn't know is, would they share the regular season? The answer is no, they will not. Why? Because last night in Blacksburg, to me, this was the best game of the women's card all weekend. And we thought it might be in Pac. It was. The 6 o'clock start at the Castle last night. NC State wins the outright ACC regular season championship for the first time in 32 years since 1990.
Well, it wins the best game on the women's side by default, but this game was great.
Yep.
It was great. We did think Louisville-Notre Dame would be really competitive. It was not, but these are two really good teams.
Yep.
And I still think Virginia Tech is a dangerous team going to Greensboro, even though they're on the outside of the double byes, the five seed. But, man, NC State got a toughness to them, don't they? I mean, this Louisville, you heard Haley Van Lith last hour talking about she likes the mental toughness of her team.
Mm-hmm.
There is no denying that Wes Moore's team's got that grit. They're tough. They're talented. They're good. You know what? And they're looking for back-to-back ACC tournament championships.
Alisa Cunane, 22 points. Fourth time she's been 20 or more during the course of the year. As the Wolfpack beat Virginia Tech 68-66, you saw at the end, Virginia Tech had a possession. Asia Shepherd had a three that was offline. Kitley couldn't recover the ball underneath. Time expires with the ball loose on the floor, and the Wolfpack hold on to a two-point win. Third straight game, NC State's had 40 points in the paint. Wes Moore, yes, they shoot threes, but they're really boxing down now to take advantage of Cunane's prowess inside.
I like their toughness yesterday because Virginia Tech had a couple of runs and opportunities to kind of stick their nose. And NC State was always had an answer for Virginia Tech last night. If you watched the game, you know what we're talking about. If you didn't, it was a terrific deal. Now, those are, like I said, two really good, talented teams.
Let's roll out the bracket for you. As released last night from the Atlantic Coast Conference, Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Syracuse and Clemson gets a three-game card underway. And then on Thursday, Virginia Tech on the floor first is the five seed. You see BC, Florida State there in a matchup of 8-9. Miami waits on the winner of Wake Virginia. And Georgia Tech will wait on the winner. It's actually Miami waits on the winner of Duke and Pitt. Georgia Tech waits on the winner of Wake Forest and Virginia. So there you have Thursday. And then our coverage on ACC Network starts on Saturday with the semifinals at high noon. And we'll see if we get NC State in Louisville for a second time.
Well, if the biggest word in sports, if we get chalk in the semis.
Right.
Louisville, Notre Dame are in the same bracket. We just saw that thing yesterday, right, which was crazy. And old Courtney and Wes get together one more time we get chalk.
Sure.
Now, in all likelihood, we probably won't because that's just the nature of the beast in any tournament. But nevertheless, this has been a great year of ACC women's hoops now. Terrific teams, six or seven teams ranked consistently all year long, and two superstar teams with NC State and Louisville.
I don't know if we're due a Charlie Cream visit, women's bracketology, for the draw. By the way, both fields, men and women, to be released on the same day this year. Both will be released on Sunday following the conclusion of men's tournaments, but looking forward to that. I don't know if we're due a Charlie Cream visit, but I'd be curious to know the thoughts on BC, Florida State, and Duke, the 8, 9, and 10s, kind of the bottom of the card, if you will, of teams getting NCAA consideration. I think Muffet McGraw said last night, in talking with Drew Carter on the post game of the women's quadruple header pack, that she thinks Duke needs a deep run in Greensboro.
Well, they have just been sliding off the face of the earth here for about 2-3 weeks. Yep. I mean, they've really struggled. They've lost 5 of 6. It actually runs a little bit even deeper than that. So Carol Lawson needs to figure it out because yep. Duke has been a struggle. But I've heard anything from 9 or 10 teams yeah. could get in the tournament, which yeah. is a huge number. But nevertheless, the league is really good.
Yeah, and you mentioned their troubles that continued with North Carolina. Virginia Tech and North Carolina got into a spot yesterday where if Carolina won, it would mean Virginia Tech would have to win to get the double bye. That did not happen. Obviously, last night at Blacksburg, but Carolina did pick up the win against Duke yesterday afternoon in the ball game you saw here on ACC Network at Carmichael, and that allowed the Tar Heels to grab the 4 seed and the double bye situation for Greensboro. Men's side was full of a couple of thrillers, a 10-point game, and then the rest of them got sideways. Is that about the way you qualify it, you think?
That, I would say Virginia had a lousy weekend. I would say Virginia Tech had a, we owed you one. Hmm. And Miami still got some work to do with 2 games on the road this week. The last thing they need is an LLL going into Brooklyn. They're still in the 60s in the net. Notre Dame took care of business, did their thing. Duke right. was awesome. Clemson wins 2 games without P.J. Hall.
Yep.
To be able to go on the road and take care of business against the B.C. team that was looking to win 3 in a row. Good win for Brad Brunell. Louisville had nothing for Wake Forest. So that was a must win for the Deacs coming off that disappointing game and down a Little John. So again, you gave me some storylines, but in terms of drama, other than 2 crazy shots, it was kind of lacking on the men's side.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, we got a week to go there. Ball game tonight with Carolina Syracuse at 7 o'clock on ESPN. So
Carolina needs to win this thing tonight now. Now, you know.
Yeah, Carolina's not in a spot where you can just kind of lay it up.
I mean, Syracuse is kind of, you kind of know where Syracuse is. They're going to mm-hmm. be middle of the road of the league. You know, here we go again, 10-10, 11-9, 9-11, whatever the combination. I mean, it seems like they're always in that spot.
Yeah.
But the way they got drilled Saturday, they got to put that in the rearview mirror and get ready. We said the tail end of Syracuse's run, schedule-wise, was difficult. You know, they made some noise. They've yep. been shooting the basketball well, Wes, but the schedule is difficult. And even when they get done with North Carolina, they still have Miami left later this week.
Yeah, I would say this too. Wake finishes the regular season this week hosting NC State. And then the Deacons have a bye on the weekend. So they're done after the ball game with the Wolfpack. Remember when we talked early in the year about making it easy on the committee?
Well, they did this weekend, I thought.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you look at the men's standings, you got Duke, Notre Dame, Carolina, Miami, and Wake Forest, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in the loss column. Most with 2, some with 1 to play. 12-7 and 11-8. See that right there, that tipping point after 5?
I go back to something I said back in December. And I said this 2 months ago. Not to get on the high horse, but I'm going to.
Sure. I mean,
the non-conference results were not very good for this conference. All right.
Right.
I've been just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Which put all the pressure on you having to basically have deep runs in your ACC games. Mm-hmm. You better have won 13, 14, or 15 if you're really thinking about the NCAA tournament. Now look at our standings with a week to go. Ta-da. It's kind of exactly – I mean, to be honest with you, Wes, there's more in the neighborhood of that number than I thought we could get to, right? I mean, Virginia yeah. Tech got off to a terrible start.
Correct, 0-4.
I yep. still think they're one of the 5 best teams in the league. I do, but 10-8 is 10-8, and they got to win both of them this week. And Virginia has had so many tough losses in that Wake game with Clemson. I still go back to that game. They could be 13-6 and sit in a great spot.
Well, and here's what I'll point out to you. And again, the net gets updated today, sometime in the 9 o'clock hour, typically between 8:30 and 9:15. Seemingly, we get a new net. Going into okay, we'll get an update number here for you shortly. Miami is 62 in the net going into today. Miami stayed at 62 in the net. Wake Forest, Carolina, Notre Dame are all in the top 50 with Duke at 9. Now, is that going to be good enough? Are we going to be able to get 5 in this?
I would take five right now and not ask a question.
I agree totally. But here's what I will tell you. I don't think that Miami at 62 can go to Brooklyn and go one and done.
Nope. Especially this week. They got two on the road. They have to win.
BC, Syracuse. Any of those today become fatal, I think, to Miami.
Well, I think a loss, for argument's sake, for Miami this week will feel like what happened in Virginia Saturday. You just can't lose those games.
I am still slightly concerned about Wake Forest.
I am too.
But a 13-7, and again, 13-15, 12-13, 14-15, that number we talked about, 2 months ago, you said, that's kind of where this thing potentially could be.
Yeah. It's pretty clear cut.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Duke and Notre Dame have clinched double byes. Carolina's essentially one away. If they win tonight, Carolina's in. It would look to me that I still go back to I think Duke and Notre Dame are in, even though Carolina's got a little bit better of a net ranking than Notre Dame.
But I will also say one more thing. While we talk all this net as if it's the end all, it's not. It's just one of many metrics the committee uses. And it depends on the individual how much onus you put on in terms of that being important. Like, for example, Virginia Tech, by beating Miami, it was their first quad one win of the year.
Sure.
Because of it, they actually dropped in the net, which makes zero sense to me.
Sure.
But I don't understand BPI. I don't understand all these analytics. And that's why I mock them, because I simply don't think they make any sense sometimes.
All right. Before we get to break, and Jake LaRavia from Winston-Salem, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome Mark Packer back with the infamous
This is an analytic
ACC
that takes
card.
This is no rocket science. The numbers are the numbers. We don't do conspiracies. You do. All right. So here they go. Foul margin. These are for ACC games only. Negative is good. Negative is good. Positive is bad on this list right here. Foul margin. The Irish at negative 55. Pretty good for Mike Bray's guys. They don't foul. Life is good. So go through the list. You figure out your own team here, all this stuff. Georgia Tech is going to own dead last in this department at plus 74.
Yeah.
Now it's time for free throw attempt margin.
Oh,
this is
boy.
The one that normally gets people upset one way or the other. We got a challenger at the bottom.
Again, yeah, we do. BC.
In this particular case, positive is good. You want to go to the free throw line more than your ACC opponent. Duke is 1, Notre Dame 2, much like the standings, 1-2.
Blue Devils have been to the line a lot in the last three games, haven't they?
Doesn't hurt.
No.
Doesn't hurt go to the line. Yeah. Got to make them, though, Wes. Just because you're there doesn't mean you're winning games.
It's just attempts. This is only attempts.
That's all right. Yeah. Now, at the very bottom, in triple digits, just like they made it last week, Georgia Tech, negative 102. Boston College had kind of an index card game against Clemson at home. Tigers in those gray unis, I guess, don't get called for fouls or whatever happens there. Brandell might want to look into that. Just wear grays all the time. Georgia Tech at negative 102. Wes Durham asked me last week, Pack, is Georgia Tech close to setting a record? The answer is no, they're not. I will take you back to the 2006-07 ACC basketball season where the University of Miami finished on the infamous ACC index card and free throw attempt margin at negative 174.
Stop.
174.
Stop.
So Georgia Tech.
What year was that?
06-07.
Oh, that's a Frank Haith coach team.
174 in the red. That is a standard. So Georgia Tech, hey, I know it isn't pretty at negative 102. Hey, BC may catch you for all I know. Okay, we don't do conspiracies. You do, but you're nowhere near the record. Nowhere near the record.
That was a minus 17 for the Eagles on Saturday at home.
I told you it was an index card.
Gray jerseys. I tell you what, now you need to have a little more.
I love gray. Gray's like my color. Look, I got my purple and my gray.
A little more pump on the gray jersey.
I keep telling you, man, school colors. School colors, Wes. The red and white of NC State, purple and orange of Clemson.
All right, kids.
Got no gray.
On the other side, a return performance on the Packer and Durham program from zero in the black. Jake LaRavia comes back to this program after the Deacons rolled the other night at home. We'll talk to Jake next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, before we roll into Greensboro Friday morning for the show, Thursday night, nothing but net live from the Coliseum, recapping the second round of the ACC Women's Tournament and a preview of the quarters. 10 o'clock, Kelsey Riggs will be there. Kelly Gramlich, Coach McGraw, Chelsea Gray. Better keep things tidy for when we arrive here on Friday morning, right? We don't
clean
need to
clean up after your act.
Clean
tonight.
Up after your act on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
It's like when we talked our way into the doing the Mike Krzyzewski Duke Carolina West Germany Pack. There's no way we're going to do our show from Kay's office.
Absolutely,
I said
that.
I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah,
we made it happen.
The old Central.
Yeah, so we did the show from Kay's office, radio show. From Coach K's office, and I brought a ton of Bojangles, like a giant pack of Bojangles for Krzyzewskiville.
Yeah.
And the last 15 minutes of the show, Krzyzewski walks in, peeks his head in the door. I'm like, come on, you come in here. He's like, no, I just want to make sure you fools clean up afterwards or I have to throw you out. We cleaned up.
Yeah, we cleaned up.
We left it in a good spot.
Then we went down to Krzyzewskiville and looked behind the curtain and gave out the biscuits.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hit the road. They didn't want to sit the game.
No, they didn't.
And Zion blew out his sneaker that night.
Again, no Packer and Durham bump that day. That was an ACC Central situation.
Come back to haunt you.
There you go. Let's go to Winston-Salem. Jake LaRavia standing by.
Back for more.
Jake's second appearance on this show, and the problem Jake has is he's wearing an L.A. Dodgers hat.
That is not good.
And Jake, Packer is a major. I mean, not like... I'm huge San Francisco Giants fan. So whenever he sees a Dodgers hat, it just doesn't go well sometimes.
You know what, though? I will say one thing for Jake. Jake, first of all, we appreciate your time on the show. And second of all, I must admit, that hat that you got right there, that we came in second place in the National League West last year, Dodger hat, looks good on you.
It does look good. Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. This thing's starting to wind down here a little bit, but I get the impression you guys may be playing some of your best basketball. Is that fair?
Yeah, I definitely think that's safe to say. End of the season, but I think, you know, we're gaining some momentum back and we're ready to get rolling as the, you know, NC State comes around as our last game and as the ACC tournament comes around.
Jake, it felt like after the Clemson game last week, and I said this on Friday's show, that the Louisville game felt like a must-win for you guys. I know that's a crazy statement, but it just felt like, hey, we got to get back to doing what we're doing. And you know what? 17-2 start. Man, you guys were off to the races. It looked like, hey, that was rearview mirror. Now let's go play Wake Forest basketball.
Yeah, we definitely struggled against Clemson, so we knew that when we played Louisville, it had to be – you know, like a get-back game and a comeback game for us. And, you know, I think that's what we did.
Jake, the part for me has been the story of how all this happened. Game-to-game is one thing, but I am still asked a lot by folks nationally about how this team came together like this, given that you were at Indiana State, Dallas was at Colorado, Alondis was at Oklahoma. To my knowledge, you three didn't really have any connection. Then you had Hildreth from Europe and Matthew Marsh and Musius and Davian are kind of the guys left over from a year ago. Now that this season is – now that you're on the kind of the final turn of the regular season, why do you think it worked? Why has this been successful?
I mean, I think it's really just we all clicked when we all got here, you know, in the summer for summer workouts and stuff. That's what I tell everyone that I think that, you know, our chemistry really clicked off rip when we met each other, you know, whether it was on the court or off the court. We, you know, we hung out a lot. I think, you know, this is the first team where, you know, the entire team really hangs out with each other when we're not practicing or we're not on the court together. So I think, you know, it's the stuff like that that matters to help the chemistry when we get on the court together.
So, like, all 15 guys, when everybody goes to eat, 15 guys go to eat, is it seemingly like everybody likes traveling together the whole bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just like each other. Like, we, you know, we joke each other all the time. We hang out with each other all the time. We really enjoy being around each other.
Jake, Wes and I will sit around here in the basement, and we're going through net rankings and the double buys and all this other stuff that we talk about. I'm always curious when it comes to players. If you guys spend any time scoreboard watching, hey, we got to win this. I know it's always the next game, and there's only one more game for you in the regular season, which is NC State. But do you spend any time of where Wake is in the net rankings, or hey, North Carolina's got Syracuse tonight. If they lose, it puts us in a position. Or do you guys are like, hey, man, forget all that. We just go play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that we keep in the back of our, you know, the back of our heads. But you know, at the end of the day, we just got to focus on, you know, what we can control, and you know, that's winning games and playing hard for us.
So is then the isolation of game to game probably the biggest characteristic you guys have to stay focused with?
Yeah, definitely. You know, take one game at a time. You know, that's the key. You know, whenever you're playing, is just, you know, focus on the next game that's ahead. And, you know, that's NC State for us, so we just got to focus on getting that win.
All right. So when that comes to the practice, like, you know, you guys will work out today to get ready for Wednesday. How is that taught? How is that spoken to by Coach Forbes and the staff with you guys? Like, today, it'll be about NC State. It'll be about maybe some plus minuses off the Louisville game. But how is that directed to you guys? What creates the buy-in on that?
Yeah, I mean, he just makes sure to tell us to stay locked in practice, that we're focused on, you know, what we have to do. When we play NC State, we'll probably watch some scout on them and, you know, just we'll guard them today and we'll walk through it and everything. And we just got to, you know, be focused and be ready to win.
All right, you have now seen everybody in the league. This is your first go-round. I'm going to play word association with you, Jake. All right, I'm just going to give you the team, and you tell me the first word that pops in your head, okay?
Okay.
Duke.
Good.
Good.
Notre Dame.
Shooters.
North Carolina.
Tough.
NC State.
2-3 zone.
Virginia.
Defense.
Virginia Tech.
Loud crowd.
Oh, interesting answer. How about ACC?
Good conference.
Good conference, all right. Hey, how about have we found a good Mexican place in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, man. There's this place called Playa Azul that I've been going to a lot. You know, it's very, very good.
All right, so after your first Packer and Durham appearance, Playa Azul becomes a spot, huh?
Yeah.
See, let me tell you something. I threw that out there for some folks, some locals, and I got about 15 different responses, and nobody had a go-to. Like, there wasn't like four or five of the same. So I didn't pass that on to you because I was like, no, I don't want to send you down the wrong path. But I'm glad you found a go-to spot because I know that's one of the things you miss the most leaving home, coming back down here to Winston-Salem.
No, I definitely found the spot, so that's good.
Good.
All right. Laravia has survived a Packer and Durham appearance wearing a Dodger hat.
Well, I like the fact he's not a Dodger fan. He said, I'm not even a Dodger fan.
Well, he said he was born in L.A., so there you go.
I get that, but that's even more reason when he says, I'm not a Dodger fan and I was born in L.A., which means I like this guy a lot.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes the Dodgers.
See, there
nobody.
You go.
America hates the Dodgers.
Jake, we're looking forward to watching Wednesday night, but also down the stretch here. You guys have been really one of the great stories of not just ACC basketball, but one of the really cool stories of the season. So good luck, and thanks for coming back by the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Jake Laravia, Wake Forest. Deacons and Wolfpack Wednesday night.
Yep. Last of the regular season for the Deacs.
There are three games on Wednesday night. Notre Dame, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and Wake Forest, NC State at the Joel in Winston-Salem, where they, by the way, crowds have gotten increasingly better in the Twin Cities, as you would expect with the kind of season they're having.
We've got 10 conference tournaments starting this week on the men's side. The major big boys, if you will, for argument's sake, have one more week of the regular season. I would say, Wes, based on what we watched and sampled around the country over the weekend,
sure,
where the top six teams in America lost, 7 of the top 10 in the AP poll lost, March Madness has a chance to be beyond spectacular this year. Mm-hmm. We don't have any superstar teams, but, man, we have a lot of really, really good ones, including a Duke team that I thought on Saturday looked the part.
Yeah, no doubt. I would offer this, too. as well. We keep talking about the five teams for the ACC tournament, and I think that number can be pretty close to confirmed by the time Brooklyn begins a week from tomorrow. But let me offer you this. One thing that would benefit the Atlantic Coast Conference is to not have a lot of disruptions starting this week.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And you don't want crazy outcomes where a team, a league that might get like two bids has the eighth place team win their conference.
That's it.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
People stealing bids this week is a real concern for not only the ACC, but other leagues, but especially for our league, given where we stand right now on the men's side. The women are in great shape. The men have some work to do.
Yeah, and I think what we got to look at is like a week from today, there'll be some of the mid-major events going on, and you don't need that Cinderella six seed popping through the door if you're, say, Miami.
No question about it.
Yeah.
100% right.
Yeah, so. All right, when we come back, off to Blacksburg. Darius Maddox is going to walk us through what it's like to hit the big game winner. See, the ball gets deflected. You just catch and shoot. Not a lot to it. Tell me. Miami's still reeling. Hokie's still celebrating. Darius Maddox is next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
On a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number in case you're in the mood. We have a gentleman making his debut, and as soon as the ball left his hand down there in beautiful South Florida, you had a feeling he could be a guest on this show.
Darius Maddox is from Bowie, Maryland, averaging 6 points a ball game, shooting 53% from the floor, but going into the ball game on Saturday, he was shooting like 50 and a half from three against ACC competition. The last one was the sweetest. Darius joins us this morning from Southwest Virginia. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing pretty well. Can't complain.
We didn't get you up too early, did we?
Nah, I had a study hall earlier, so I just came from there.
All right.
Now we're going to put you to sleep. All right, that game Saturday, Darius, had to feel like, you know what, we owed you one, right? After what Charlie did to you guys in Blacksburg, you kind of felt like, hey, we're down eight, .42 to go, we owe you one. You at least felt that way from my couch. How about you guys?
Oh, definitely. The last couple of years, actually, every game we play Miami, it gets down to the wire. I know before I got here with Wong, just hitting big shots at the end, and the last time we played them, Charlie hitting that crazy shot. So definitely needed that win. And I kind of had a feeling that, you know, something was going to go on.
All right. So it's basically down eight with 1:42 to go. Coach Young's in the late game shifts where he's changing guys on every dead ball a little bit. What are you thinking? What's Darius Maddox thinking when you're down eight with 1:42 to go?
Honestly, just to get stops and to stick with the game. It could have been easy for us to just give up, especially with them having the lead that they had. But we were desperate and we needed a win, so we just kept pushing and we pulled through.
All right. Now, you made that sound simple, Pac, didn't he? I mean,
well, it was simple. I don't know what you were listening to, Wes. I thought what he said made a ton of sense to me.
Get stops and hit shots,
sure,
right?
But no doubt.
Okay. Right.
Makes a ton of sense. I want to know this, though, Darius. Miami's got the lead. They got the ball. It's 14 seconds to go. Ball's deflected. It comes to you. There was never a doubt that you're going to pass the ball, right? I mean, as soon as that ball lands in your hands, you knew you're putting it up, right?
Oh, right. I definitely knew that we were down and we needed a quick score. And then at the free throw line before when they were shooting, we were just saying, like, we got to go. Like, we got to make plays. So as soon as I got it, I just put it up.
But were you thinking three, Darius? I mean, were you thinking, okay, if I get this deflection, I've got to make sure I'm behind the line here? Or were you just thinking, get the ball up, period?
I mean, well, Coach Young has been on me majority of the season. I've been shooting it well. And at times I tend to, you know, look down and take steps back. And he always talks about my court awareness. So I just felt that I was a little in front of the three-point line. So I just took a quick step to gather backwards and I shot it.
And the second it left your hand, you knew it was good because it was perfect.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
That one just felt – I mean, even when it left your hand, you never know when you're watching it on television, But you can always tell the release and the trajectory. You're like, man, that looks good. It looks really good.
Definitely. Definitely. Thank you. Yeah, but yeah, I knew it was good as soon as it came off.
Darius, there are, and in doing the ball game with Carolina last Saturday at Blacksburg, I went back and started digging through some of this research and looked at last year compared to this year and some of the things you've been through, because your value to this team obviously has increased as the season has gone on. Take me a little bit through what that's been like, because I know Coach Young's talked about your improvement of the defensive end of the floor, and I know you valued that to go with what you can do offensively. Is that the singular difference, or is there more to it?
I feel like it's offensively and defensively for me, along with just being mentally positive. You know, last year, I didn't really get to play as much, and towards the end of the season, I got injured. And defense was really, I guess, like a problem for me in physicality. And this year, I'm just focusing more on, you know, just not getting scored on, staying in the right position, and just being more physical and aggressive in my all-around game. And when I'm aggressive, things go out for me well, and things go well for the team.
Now, I know there's still work to be done this week, and then we get Brooklyn next week. But there's no doubt for anybody that's watched your team play that you're playing your best basketball of the year right now. I know the North Carolina game you like to have back, but hey, it's over and done with. You got one on Miami on Saturday. Do you guys feel that, guess what, we're the most dangerous team in the tournament when it gets to Brooklyn next week?
No question. All our guys are confident. And like you said, like we're playing a really good basketball now. And we're starting to get more comfortable, especially coming off the bench with me, Sean, and David. We just come in and try to be as aggressive as possible and try to affect the game with whatever minutes we have.
Yeah, I mean, it's readily evident that it's as much about a starting eight as it is a starting five for Virginia Tech. I mean, you guys are really deep, and you use it effectively, and no better example than what happened, I think, in the final minutes the other day at Miami. I'm curious with Mike Young, and we've had Coach on before. He's fantastic, and I've known him a long time. He always seems to have a bucket full of shooters, Darius, and guys yeah. who can really shoot. So it leads me to believe that things get maybe fairly competitive at times in practice and maybe even post-practice with shooting drills and games and a little bit of competition, things like that. How does that work with you and Storm and Padula and Mutz and Couture and all these guys that can rip it like y'all can?
I mean, honestly, after practice, you know, we're heading to get basketballs, get managers, coaches to get up shots. But in terms of competing, I feel like it's definitely some trash talk going on. But mostly just trying to get up shots and hit as most shots as possible.
So is the best shooter the best trash talker on the team?
not quite. I probably would say Hunt might probably the best shooter. But, yeah, he doesn't talk too crazy.
Wait a second. Couture doesn't talk trash?
He does, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. But
Couture was getting fired up the other day. Now, come on, now, don't tell me Couture doesn't talk trash. Couture's getting fired up, right?
Right. Yeah. He was. He said a little something to Charlie.
Well, listen. After what Charlie did to you guys in Blacksburg, I mean, you got to get in his head somehow. I mean, the guy's making bank shots from midcourt and stealing it. I mean, you had to get in his head a little bit.
Yeah. I agree.
All right.
All right, as far as this week, though, we're talking about the tournament and getting all that stuff, but you still have Louisville and a road trip to Clemson. I mean, you know, you look at the standings, it's not where you want to be, but you're playing your best basketball. How about finishing off the regular season? What's being discussed on the team?
Really just to win today. We have practice a little bit later on today and then shoot around tomorrow, so we're just going to focus in on majority of those guys on Louisville, you know, and just keep going what we have going.
Well, I tell you what, you guys have made a heck of a push. Hard to believe it was kind of an 0-4 start in the ACC the way this is kind of thundered to the end, huh?
Right. Yeah, we definitely dug ourselves in a bit of a hole, but I feel really confident in our team and in myself as of late, and so we're going to try to pull through with the next couple of games.
By the way, we just had Jake LaRavia on from Wake Forest, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. We get to this stage of the season, and it's a long grind. Everybody goes through highs and lows and injuries, and you try to get to the finish line, but you guys are playing so well. Do you take any sneak peeks at the net or the rankings or what people think about the Hokies being in, being out, bracketology? You spend any time with that at all?
Me personally, I don't. The best way for me to operate and play and to be myself is when I just, you know, naturally just, you know, let things happen. So I don't really try to peek in and look into too much things. I might talk to some of my friends that are in the ACC or SEC, but, you know, other than that, I'm just stick to what I have going on.
So you don't want to know where you are in the net. Like if I told you right now, it'd go in one ear and out the other, right?
I mean, I'll definitely remember as this conversation, but like I'm saying, like I wouldn't just go out my way and just be like, yo, where are we at? Like, where's somebody else at?
All right, well, yeah, guess no, what, Darius? I'm not too worried. Darius, I'm not going to tell you, all right? How about that? I'm not going to say a word. Whatever your buddies are telling you, those are your
there
buddies,
you go,
man. You're going to say, well, I talked to this old dude on the television show, man. He said we were in the net. I'm not going to tell you any of that nonsense. It's all nonsense. I'm not going to let you know that. All right, here's my question for you. This is a traditional question for everybody making their debut on a show that's a student-athlete. Since you've been at Virginia Tech, Darius, what has been your hardest class?
I would say I had a finance class this first semester with a teacher named Kevin Chang. And it had a lot to do with mathematics and, you know, that was kind of difficult for me. Just the different, you know, equations and how to put, you know, certain numbers in different places, it was kind of difficult for me.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you remembered the teacher is a good sign, as far as I'm concerned. That's good stuff there, man.
Hey, Darius, thanks for the time. Good luck to you guys against Louisville and then finishing out the regular season, okay?
Gosh, thanks for having me.
You bet. Darius Maddox. Telling you now. Double figures waiting to happen. Three of the last five shooters shoot, too.
Hokies are dangerous, man. I'm just telling you. When this tournament starts in Brooklyn, they're not going to be a double-bye team, so they're going to be playing some more ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you're going to be real excited if you see Virginia Tech on your side. Just saying. I think they could cause a problem.
You are looking at a potential, and again, this is today, Virginia Tech is hanging right around in that 7-10 situation, which would be the winner of the 10-15 game, okay? Not the 8-9, which is right now, if things hold, would be Syracuse, Florida State in the 8-9 game.
I don't want to be in the 8-9.
No.
I don't want any part of 8-9.
I don't think anybody wants to be. The 8-9 game, because then you're going to turn around and play the top seed. But if you're Virginia Tech and you get the 7-10, and here's my logic. In the 7-10, that converts to the 2 seed, right?
I want to
That's
that.
A big difference right there.
Yeah, I think it's just like the NCAA tournament. I would rather be a 10 than an 8 or a 9.
Right.
In my opinion.
How would you like, by the way, if you had like quarterfinal game, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame?
I don't think anybody's going to be excited to play Virginia Tech.
I don't think anybody would be excited to play Notre Dame. And you're talking about two teams that's got a lot of compatibility, too. That'd be a heck of a game in a quarterfinal. That's the other thing about this event. We'll get to this next week. There's enough behind, like Duke, and Duke's going to end up, if things go right, they'll finish 18-3. Okay. And we had that question in the fall, too. Three or four 17 losses.
17-3.
17-3, sorry. But Duke.
Unless you want to get Duke play
21. Well, you know, go throw them a big bonus game or something.
Coach K, it's not your last home game.
Yeah, we got one more. It's Monday. But you look at kind of that group behind the Blue Devils, and we've talked about double buys and things like that, but think about the compatibility and the competitive nature of games we've seen.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody's as scared of anybody in that group. It's just like, yeah, we'll go play them.
Yeah.
But Duke, I will just say, what Duke did Saturday at Syracuse, I haven't seen another team do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was just inside, outside, great defense, on the road. Oh, you got 30,000 here tonight? Oh, that's cool. I hope they're enjoying watching us play.
Workmanlike.
They were really great Saturday night.
Thanks to Darius Maddox. When we come back, we're actually going to show you an excerpt from tonight's edition of the tournament. And a few more notes, too. Oh, roll it up for Shamon Williams. All that and more next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
John has got that look in his eye like, I can open this thing up. Williams on fire.
Oh, yes. Jamal Williams, baby, putting a show on, shooting the rock.
9 points in the last 2 minutes, and now NC State in a lot of trouble.
A player that only Dean Smith had truly believed in had delivered the coach his 13th ACC tournament championship.
The ACC championship will be in Chapel Hill, baby.
Carolina, as they have been for everybody in the last 12 games, they are too much, and they are the ACC tournament champion.
Shamond Williams won the Everett Case Most Valuable Player Award, and Coach Smith's promise of a chance had become the gift of a moment when he would always be the best.
Boy. You know, I knew nothing about an ACC MVP. You know, those things didn't exist in my world. Nobody ever appreciated what you brought to the table. They didn't think that we would be a good team. They didn't think that I could lead them. If you go down the line of that ACC MVPs and you look at the magnitude of all those players, then you get to 97 and you see a guy that didn't belong. That was validation that people appreciated what I brought to the table. Nobody could ever take that away from me.
Better get ready tonight. Better get ready tonight.
Pretty good.
There are tonight's two episodes feature four very pronounced storylines. I think you're really going to enjoy the tournament tonight. Episodes 7 and 8 start at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow on this show, Randolph Childress, I believe, and J.R. Reed on this program. By the way, the 1997 event is an event that if you go back through the history of the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament, it is one where for only six times in the first 52 years of the event, in the formats of the event that were six, seven, and eight games, a lower seeded team beat a higher seeded team. Hypothetically, 1989, one of the tournament games, you remember Bob Wade in Maryland beating NC State, the regular season champion at the Omni, right? In Atlanta. That's correct. 71-49, they lost the next day, Maryland did. The 1997 NC State team beat Georgia Tech in the play-in game, the 8-9 game, and then beat the top seed Duke 66-60 in the quarterfinals. That 8-1 is the last time the top seed had been knocked off in its first game of the smaller formatted tournament. NC State then rode that wave into the finals where they lost to Carolina 66-60 in Raleigh. That was Herb Sendak's first Wolfpack team, by the way. And Shamond Williams, and it's a great story, was the MVP and the Case Award winner at the tournament. So.
There's always great storylines, and that's why this documentary has been so much fun to relive the past. And some incredible stories, like we've said. So that again, I know you've seen the advanced copy. I have not.
Yeah.
So I'm drilled. Listen, Monday nights, 9 to 11, yeah. You know where to find me. On the couch, and the remote is nowhere near my hand because you never want to change the channel.
Okay, Syracuse, Carolina tonight in Chapel Hill, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Dan Shulman, Corey Alexander, Andrea Carter will be there. Without Jesse Edwards and Frank Anselm and kind of the things, Jesse Edwards is on the shelf. Anselm, Benny Williams have been playing. Baroma Sidibe has been in there for premium minutes at times here. But Armando Bacot is rolling for Carolina inside.
The only thing I would tell you is, you know, you had Pitt at North Carolina, and you went through the same thing. Baycott this, Baycott
yeah,
that,
I know.
North
I told
Carolina
you. Yeah.
this, North Carolina that. And I sat there and I watched that game, and Pitt had him down 20.
Shoot or shoot.
And let me tell you, Syracuse is one of these goofy teams that when they get rolling, man, they got nothing to lose. They know exactly where they're going to be in the ACC tournament. They're going to be sitting there right there in the middle, around 500. They can go to Chapel Hill. Got nothing to lose. Let's go. Just flat off getting destroyed by Duke. North Carolina, this is one of those kind of games that you need to win. Yeah. I mean, they are still in that position. And, hey, they're 40th in the net, which is the second highest ACC rank. 40th in the net. For North Carolina, if you can get through the grind, you win this one, you're locked and loaded as the double bye. You get ready for Duke all week, but you can't look ahead to Duke. This has got to be taking care of business tonight against Syracuse.
BPI gives Carolina a 79-9 chance to win.
Means absolutely nothing. I've seen North Carolina favored by 94%,
oh,
and
boy.
It didn't matter.
That's right.
So, hey, just go play, man. But Syracuse is always dangerous because they can make threes.
Yep. You got one tonight, two tomorrow night, and three on Wednesday to get us to the final weekend of play, the final actual day of play in the ACC's regular season, which obviously is highlighted by Duke and Carolina on Saturday night. So,
and, of course, our show, the kids' table.
Yeah. More on that as the week goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we're going to find out today on Zoom what's going on with that show.
Yeah,
right?
You're excited, aren't you?
I am.
Your
I
first
invited.
Game, you saved yourself $1 million.
Coach K told me back at tip-off, I said, what's it going to cost to get to that last home game of yours? He goes, for you, $1 million. I just got done doing a charity, $1 million for four tickets. For you, $500,000. So I kind of feel like all of a sudden we've been invited to the dance a little since.
I'm not sure he's aware you're coming.
Well, it's not really my concern whether he's aware or not. I know it's his last game. I just hope it's not our last show. That's what I'm concerned
about. There you
go.
Thanks to Haley Van Lith.
God bless
Chester.
Haley Van Lith.
Chester into deep depression after Haley's appearance on this show.
Haley Van Lith.
Jake LaRavia, Darius Maddox, also fabulous on this program as well. Full show tomorrow. We'll highlight the tournament. Plus, we'll get into the women's tournament preview as well. Thanks to Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Chrissy. Fabulous job. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for another edition. Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.